Welcome to the Unsung Gamers Podcast, where we'll jump into all the games that are out there, entertainment, just about anything that's out there, and we're going to talk about whatever. I'm your host, Rico, a.k.a. Phantom Recon, and with me today is my brother, Shadow Alchemist X, a.k.a. Nandal.
Hey.
And we're just going to jump right in, because we're going to keep this one another short one, because the other one did pretty well for it being a short one. But today, we're going to discuss the video game that recently came out. And apparently it was like an anticipated game to play, which is the Suicide Squad that just came out. And I know, Nando, you talked about it a little bit, but I guess, do you want to give some insights on like what you thought or what you heard about the game and how it did? And then I want to talk about it.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it was first announced like maybe 2 years after the release of Arkham Knight. Like, this is Rocksteady Studios, the developer of those games. And so, you know, everyone was pretty excited about it. And then about a year and a half ago, they released like actual gameplay of it. And it was like a looter shooter that was heavily like gearing towards like a live service platform. And then it was like an immediate like backlash on that. Like, nobody wanted this kind of game to be released. And then, you know, they went back into development for like another year and a half, and they kept on developing on it, like on top of it. And everyone thought that they were changing everything about it, but they didn't. They was still a live service, like third person shooter game that was released. And when it finally was released, like it was exactly what they promoted like before, like nothing changed really. It's just now it's out and pretty much no one bought it, like for the most part. And people that did buy it couldn't really access the game because it was just so buggy at release.
So I heard about this game. So you saying all that was really surprising to me, because I heard it was an anticipated game that was coming out, but when it came out, I know it didn't do too well. But I did see that they just recently released a DLC or the Joker character, so I'm guessing people were still playing it. But So because of that, I was curious, and, you know, I decided just, you know, listen to basically the entire video game cinematic cutscenes for it, which is available on YouTube. You can do a search and it'll kind of give you a quick cinematic cutscenes of the entire game. And I listened to it. I watched a little bit of it, because some of it I needed to watch. Most of it I was listening to it. But overall, I felt like, again, going into this, not knowing much about it, I thought the story was really good. I thought the story was good. I thought, that I could see that becoming an actual TV show, because it had like a TV show type of atmosphere and good storytelling. But with that, so that's the good part. Now, the part that maybe it's probably what got a bunch of gamers who actually did play it and didn't like it once it jumped in was how, I guess how they do, you know, because obviously the game's called, you know, Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. And I thought that was just the name of the title. I didn't know they're, you know, I guess spoilers, so I didn't know they're actually going to be killing the actual Justice League. And I guess the way they kill them, to dumb it down, you know, basically bullets.
Insulting.
Like everyone has some kind of weapon, you know, but basically you're using guns. And I felt like they could have gotten a little bit more creative on that. Like, you know, defeating Superman with like kryptonite type bullets that, you know, even he couldn't, you know, dodge or whatever, or the Flash somehow. I mean, and there were some gadgets in there that helped them out, but they could have just said, you know, they amplified those weapons to kind of help them defeat them. But a lot of it was just, in my opinion, just lazy writing.
Yeah.
Very lazy, output to defeating, you know, these superheroes. And I'm not even talking about just, you know, the big ones, you know, like Superman, and the Flash. You know, and there's the Green Lantern as well, and you know, Wonder Woman is on there, and but actually Wonder Woman's the only one who's actually like still the good guy. And I guess to give you a quick summary of the game, basically you're the Suicide Squad that, you know, obviously they call upon because you're the only ones that can fight, you know, the superheroes, because the main Justice League, they got basically brainwashed by Brainiac, and the only one that's not brainwashed was the Flash and Wonder Woman. But as you progress through the game, the Flash ends up getting basically brainwashed himself, and then Wonder Woman is the only one that's there helping the Suicide Squad. But you know, and again, the story was good, but man, just how they defeated all of them, I was like, what? And like none of them, nobody in the Suicide Squad that I felt like could have actually beat them, because a lot of them were just regular. I mean, I wouldn't even consider them super villains that could have defeated them. Like, at least have, you know, one of the big ones, like the Riddler, or something. And you know, they did have Lex Luthor help out a little bit here and there, because I just felt like they needed somebody that's like a genius to help them to come up with some kind of gadgets or some way to defeat them. But there was none of that. I mean, and when Lex did come in and help out, it was very little. For the most part, it was really just them shooting, you know, the Green Lantern, shooting the Flash, shooting Superman, and I mean, that's basically what did them in. Even Batman, the same thing. And you mentioned this, Nando, but I didn't know they made it canon to the Arkham series. And spoilers, yeah. You know, I mean, they kill Batman in this game, like, and this is like Kevin Conroy's Batman, and ah, oh man, when I saw that immediately, I was like, I mean, I hope they're bringing him back. I hope there's a similar kind of dimension or something, that this was not the real reality that they're in, because there is a little bit of multiverse that they touch upon in it, but when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, like I don't know, I didn't like that at all. Because it's crazy, because like, you know, they made this is the same people that made the Arkham series, and they made it such a badass game. He's going through Batman himself, you know, fighting through all this storyline through the entire Arkham series, only to basically get beat by bullets, something that he deals with all the time. But. That part I couldn't get over. And of course, you know, I go all the way through, I finish it, and I'm still like, what? I guess I still didn't really see what made these individuals, you know, the Suicide Squad, so remarkable at what they did. None of them were like geniuses. They were just mercenaries, basically. And I guess there was no real true strategic tactics involved, other than what Lex Luthor, you know, chipped in here and there. But even then, they could have like been more involved about the plan and everything. I don't know. I just felt like it was lazy. Like, it's just like, boom, boom. All right, the Suicide Squad just killed Justice League. That's it. Oh my God, this their one weakness: bullets. The Justice League have never dealt with bullets before, and it was just very lazy, in my opinion.
Like, that's what everyone's main complaint was, you know, besides it being a live service third person shooter game that no one asked for, is that before release, everyone was hoping, well, hopefully the story is still really good. And then the game came out, and obviously, as you said before, like, it was not a good story. Like, it took like 8 years plus another year, I think, of like additional development time, and this is what they released. It's what got everyone so upset about it. Like, that's why no one's really playing it, no one's buying it. The Joker DLC came out, and it did not increase the player count at all. Like, no one's just going back and playing it, because even with that release, like the grind to get Joker is massive. Like you have to play so many missions just to get, just to unlock them. Like you already paid for them, but now you have to unlock them. And like there's a, you know, a $10 like charge to unlock them immediately if you want to, but that's an additional microtransaction on an already $70 game. And it's just, you know, going back to the story, it's just insulting. Like, yeah, like the Suicide Squad, they didn't do anything special to earn this ending. Like, had it been like another hero that joined the Suicide Squad or other more powerful Suicide Squad members, because there are others, like Black Manta, I believe him actually taking down one of the Justice League members on his own could have been part of this game. But that's not what they went for, and it just felt extremely lazy and just terrible. It's like what 343 Industries did to Halo. Like this, these games were built up to be something great, and then with their latest game, like it just tore it all down. That's what they did with this one, especially now that it's canon, technically, officially as canon, unofficially by, you know, everybody else that are playing the game and are gamers. It's unofficially like canon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess like I another thing that I just realized was like, since this is basically, you know, a canon to the Arkham series, that instead of, you know, maybe trying to introduce the Justice League as a playable characters, maybe, you know, trying on playing as a Flash or playing as Green Lantern or even Superman or Wonder Woman, they bring in the Suicide Squad. Like, man, like I think the biggest thing for me was just like they made it canon, and the fact they made it canon and basically killed the character that made them this, the developing company, who they are because of the Arkham series, and it was Batman, and then basically they just, you know, kill him off. I don't know, I really didn't like that. I didn't like how, you know, their choices and stuff. Like, I think even Captain Boomerang, like I thought he uses a boomerang, but he's using a gun in this game. Yep. I mean, and then like, you know, that I do see that they amplified some of the characters too. Like that there's a part where Superman basically gets stabbed in the chest with kryptonite to stop him. I mean, he's still Superman. I mean, he still has, you know, Kryptonian in him. And for kryptonite to not basically stop him, because like he has this kryptonite in his chest, and he's fighting Wonder Woman. And even though he has this kryptonite in his chest, he's still able to basically shoot a laser beam from his eyes and basically burn Wonder Woman. I mean, you have to be pretty powerful first off, already to ignite that much, I guess, beams, and especially against Wonder Woman, who's basically another Superwoman too, just maybe not as strong, but Superman, for him to be able to do that with kryptonite in his chest, like, oh man. And then apparently Batman kills Robin off screen. Yeah, and I guess the Joker's isn't that good either.
Yeah, I mean, it's just horrible, and it should have been like a sign to everyone. Women, I guess it was for everyone who was paying attention before buying the game. People who didn't buy it knew that the leaders, or the, I guess the founders, Jamie Walker and Stephen Hill, like left Rocksteady Studios like a year before release of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And even with Jamie Walker removing his name from the game, like he doesn't want any affiliation with it. So I'm like, that's a bad sign. If the founder of the developer left and doesn't want anything to do with the game, that's bad, man. Because like they helped create, you know, the Arkham series, and if they don't want anything to do with this one, then that's bad on this game.
Man, and then because like, you know, as I'm watching this, you know, because you're watching the CGI stuff, I don't think, or maybe I missed it, but I didn't catch how Brainiac brainwashed them. But I think it, when I looked back, I think it had to do something where, like, because I think Brainiac's Superman's of supervillain, and basically they get controlled because Superman decided they should go and negotiate with Brainiac, but without a backup plan, like they just like, you know, let's just go in there and talk to him, you know, like. Like I've never met Brainiac or never fought Brainiac before, you know. Then they don't have expectations. Plus, I mean, I'm still thinking of Batman. Batman would have been like steps ahead of all this. Like,
yeah.
Again, like it's just, I don't know. Like, I did like the story because as I'm listening to it, I'm watching it. The story itself is pretty cool, but as far as actually defeating the Justice League and how the Justice League got brainwashed, I think they got super super lazy. Because that, I mean, for me, that's the biggest thing. Was like, if they can tell that story really good, okay, I can buy into this plot and into this storyline. But when I find out that they basically got brainwashed, and then the Suicide Squad is the only one out there that can stop the Justice League, and these four individuals, and again, there's nothing really superhuman about them. And these characters are, let's see, what's it called? The Deathshot, Harley Quinn, Dr. Boomerang, and I think King Shark. I think it's just those four. And I'm seeing these four, and again, these four are a bunch of mercenaries. Like, nothing, you know, that's like, oh, wow, yeah, I gotta be careful with these guys. You know, if they brought in, like, even Bane, because Bane, even though he was a brute, he was a smart dude, too.
Yeah, I'm trying. Batman, so yeah.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of other like villains that could have been in there instead of these four. Because again, I mean, they're mercenaries. You send them in to go basically go take out stuff, but like you're going against the best of the best, and they do mention it when they're fighting some of these people. You know, you're trying to, you know, like one of them, they're trying to snipe the Flash, and like they had an open shot and they tried to snipe him, and the Flash had already, you know, saw it coming a long time ago, and. So you thought you could just snipe me, you know, and then Batman, the same thing. Like, you want to fight Batman, the most dangerous man alive, you know, like, man, I just felt like it was lazy. The story, them fighting in between to get to the actual boss fights, which be in the Justice League, is good. But, yeah. And then the disrespect, man, obviously Batman, all of them on just how they defeat them, but man, they did a Flash dirty as a Boomerang. Oh, yeah. But yeah, Boomerang, like he ends up just peeing on his corpse after he died. And I was like, damn,
that's messed up.
Yeah. So
I really feel like you're right. Like the concept of the game is the best part of it. The execution is the worst part of it. Like the story itself just wasn't written by talented people who should have been writing this story. They should have gotten someone else to write this. And considering that there was five different writers and four different directors on this one game, I mean, that's not good. You need at least, at the most, maybe two or three writers and one director and one co-director. That way everything's like, everyone knows what they're doing and there's not ideas just thrown all over the place. And I feel like that's just what happened with this. It was just an amalgamation of all these ideas that didn't make any sense, but they put in the story anyways.
Yeah, yeah. So, man, it was just... I was just interested in, like, why this game isn't... I mean, I never had any interest in it. The only thing that caught my attention was the fact that it was part of the Arkham series storyline. And yeah, you know, obviously I watched it, and man, it's nah. And then, like, of course, they in the end, you know, they defeat Brainiac, but because they mentioned the multiverse, they're like, well, this is one Brainiac out of that. They mentioned 13, there's 13 of them, so it makes it sound like there's going to be a sequel or maybe a DLC to it. But I mean, I would really like to talk to somebody who's actually played the game and to get their take on it, because like maybe they liked it, maybe. They don't know about all the superheroes and villains in the DC universe. I don't know, because I'm still on the side of like, nah, this game is not that great. Yeah.
At $70 on top of that, insultingly at $70 on top of that, it's
it's just
horrible. I mean, at least as far as Steam charts go, like player count right now is under 1,000 players like that are playing the game.
Wow.
And when you compare that to, like, you know, Helldivers 2, which is something we have been playing, like, concurrently, like, just on Steam alone, there's over 200,000 players playing that game. And that game only cost $40.
Man. Yeah, so it, like,
this is bad. It's
yeah.
Game.
And
it's the reason why games shouldn't be $70. Like, that is a prime example of it. And why no one should be buying games day one, at least, for $70.
Exactly. I was gonna go into that. Like, this is another reason why, like, you know, these $70 games aren't just worth it anymore. And if anything, I mean, I would have to pick up the price, because I know it's a lot, but if we're gonna pay for quality games, like, and seeing the amount of games that have been recently released. You know, and then, you know, you're paying $70, and then, you know, obviously you're playing it, and it comes or at least, in my opinion, that game is a flop. I would not want to play it again. It has no replay value for me. I wouldn't want to play it again. But, like, I guess I'm more thinking of, like, you know, Rockstar games. You know, their Red Dead Redemption games. The new Grand Theft Auto game coming out. And, you know, like I said, they mentioned they want to charge $120 for it. You know what? I mean, $120. It's only $50 more, but I know I'm gonna get a quality game out of it. You know, I might just be okay with paying it, because I know I'm gonna be playing a quality game. Like, and I'd rather that be the standard. Like, if you're gonna release a really good game, okay, you know, I'll pay it. But, like, everyone else that's like just wanted to charge $70 because they can, and that's like the market right now for new games. Like, no, man, like, no. When the new Legend of Zelda game came out, I think it was one of the first games that were the Nintendo Switch, you know, the price for the new game was like $70. And, you know, for me, I know I'm going to be playing a quality game, so I'd be happy to pay that. But yeah, this Suicide Squad game, $70, like, definitely, like, in my opinion, not worth that much. Maybe 20.
Maybe.
That's why I said maybe. Like, because, damn, like,
it's,
no.
Yeah, and like what you're saying about the $120, like, Elden Ring released at $60. That was well worth the $60.
Oh yeah.
And now they're releasing a DLC this year that's $40. And on the outset, you can see, like, oh, $40, that's pretty expensive for a DLC. But Elden Ring itself, like, worked, and it was great day one.
Yep.
I have not seen anybody complaining about the $40 price tag. If anything, there's nothing but pre-orders about it. Like, everyone's excited about this DLC coming out.
I mean, if people are complaining about it, like, and I'm sure there's probably people who play the Call of Duty game, like, and I'm, you know, I'm bringing up Call of Duty again, but like, look, you bought a $70 game, Call of Duty game, had a 5-hour campaign, which you're playing basically the same concept multiplayer actually that it has. And you know, the replay value of it, you know, you could have had that same multiplayer on the other Call of Duty games. The only biggest difference on here is probably the campaign and the weapons. Campaign only being 5 hours. Now, I'm about to pay $30, $40 for a DLC on Elden Ring, where I think they said that it's about a 20 to 25 hour, probably more, DLC. Like, I mean, this is a DLC. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'd be happy to pay for that, and $70 for something else, or a mediocre, low quality product of a video game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, you gotta, if you're gonna be selling your game at $70, it has to hit it out of the park like day one. It cannot be a game that's like buggy as shit like day one. The story sucks. The game sucks. It has to work day one in order for it to be worth the $70.
Yeah, like,
that's what I hate about the recent release about Dragon's Dogma 2, another highly anticipated game, like, over a decade, like, after it's, like, the first game released, and now it's been released, like, even on PC, is having a rough time, like, running at 60 FPS on next gen for $70.
I mean, and this is sad, because, you know, it makes me rethink what I said earlier about how, like, I guess if it's a game that, you know, like, you know, like, I mean, we heard there was like a delay in the releasing God of War, there was a delay in releasing the new Legend of Zelda game, but like those games, like, yeah, I'm okay, you know, let there be a delay, because these guys, they know what they're doing. some of these other games that, like, I've heard of that, like, were delayed and now they're about to be released, like the ones you mentioned, or I think there was another one. What's that? The pirate one, Bones and Cruises or something like that. That game was delayed and it recently came out, and I don't know how well that one's doing, but it's not doing as what people thought it was gonna do. It was supposed to be a highly anticipated game too, but I don't know how well that one's doing. But I don't know. It's a good topic. It's something we should look into and keep an eye on like how some of these games that like are delayed and delayed again. Like maybe you know these companies that are delaying stuff. I think that should like dock them, like you know their original $30 price. They should get docked $5, and for every other delay, and get docked another $5, because some companies have earned that privilege to you know delay a game, and you know me as a gamer, I'm okay with it. And then there's other developers who do it because they don't know. I guess it's been a while. They're second guessing themselves, and then they release a game like Suicide Squad at $30.
Yeah.
So
annoyingly so at $70, like the normal price tag, but you don't get to release your game at $70 when it's like this.
Yeah. But I mean that's all I have about the Suicide Squad. I mean I'm sure that there's more stuff and more topics we can jump into, like the one we're talking about, price tags and everything. But for the most part, Suicide Squad, I mean, again, I didn't play it. I just watched the cinematic cutscenes, and just from it, like it did feel like even though I didn't play the game, but from what I saw, the actual gameplay, I mean, everything looked very very repetitive. Like nothing was really like, I don't know, like oh, you know, if I upgrade fun to this, you know, sword or something or some different weapon. It just seemed like every single part of the gameplay from the beginning to the end was a weapon that. It was the same fire rate, maybe showed different color bullets, but overall, I mean, I couldn't tell a difference from what weapon you used in the very beginning to your final weapon you used at the very end. Like, it just all seemed the same to me, and I feel bad for those who paid for it and didn't like it. You know, hopefully they can, you know, maybe wait or read the reviews before, and me for one, like, I'm glad I didn't buy it. But I'm also happy that, you know, people are uploading stuff on YouTube. So, you know, people like me can, you know, look into it and see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, no, I did the same thing. And yeah, going back to its gameplay, I mean, it wasn't doing anything different that we don't already have now, either at a cheaper price or free. And that's the difference between that game and something like Helldivers 2 that we're constantly on. Like the game, the thing that makes that game fun is just the game itself. It's just a lot of fun. And the thing it does differently than what I've seen from other games that just don't do it are stratagems, like your airstrikes, your turrets, your shields, like stuff like that. Those aren't in any other games that I play, only in this one.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to say it again because I think a lot of people overlook it, but I really like the composition, the music in the game. Like, whether you're about to extract, the music gets intense, or you're trying to do some kind of code on the terminal, you know, the music gets really intense. It's like, you know, very battle ready type of music. Like I really appreciate that. I really think that kind of gets you in the mood, like gotta hurry up and do this, you know, or about to extract, like I'm in, time's running out. I really appreciate the encore, or the music, the composition that they have on the video game. So kudos to them on that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like they know that their composer that they got, Wilbert Rodgert II, composes soundtrack for them, and yeah, he nailed it. He absolutely made a soundtrack for this game.
Nice. But you know, speaking of Helldivers, I know there's more stuff coming, but you know, we'll talk about that another time. But yeah, I just want to talk about Suicide Squad, and thank you, Nanda, for joining me on this podcast. We're gonna go ahead and end it here. And we're going to end it pretty quick. And thank you all for catching us and watching us today. I really appreciate it. Share it with your friends. You know, as always, you know, check us out on unsunggamers.com. And until next time, we're the Unsung Gamers, saving the world one game at a time.